When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saving money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Works cordless power tools and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works cordless power tools and lawn equipment. Plus the weekly flyer today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Have you ever...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the One Hit Meter Productions podcast. I am your host and producer, Blake Howard. This is a very special bonus episode of our show, profiling a very fun, very funny, very dark and gruesome little slice of Australian noir, or as Mario Lewis calls it, yeah noir, called Slant. A couple of weeks ago in Sydney at the Rambler Grits, I was lucky enough to host the Q&A for the filmmakers, including... writer and star Michael Nicu, director James Vinson, producer Monique Fisher, and also star, and the iconic Sigrid Thornton. Yes, that's right. The icon from things like The Light Horseman, from Sea Change, and of course, the mans from Snowy River. That's right, plural, mans from Snowy River. Before we jump into that conversation, let's take a listen to the trailer, and then we'll dive straight in. With Michael, with James, with Monique, and with the iconic Sigrid Thornton.
Is this wrong?
No. No.
Do you want some?
Good evening. To our top story tonight, the McGowan Coppolis family drama continues. Martin McGowan is no longer a suspect in his wife Elizabeth's disappearance.
So, I got a job.
Congratulations, darling.
Thought you wanted to be on TV.
We finally get to write the big expose.
You mean, new guy here.
This is my story.
Wrongo, this is a public story. And whoever writes a better piece, they'll be published.
3 o'clock in the morning, Elizabeth, where have you been?
I'm going to bed.
Walk away from here. You've no right to walk away. You walk away from here, Elizabeth.
Or we can write something that actually helps someone for once.
You could just come out and say you think he did it.
Knowing him, he'd sue me for defamation. Defamation.
Which is it, play her or help her?
We help her by gaining her trust, and then we get the unfiltered truth. Come on!
What's on the tape?
Nothing.
No, not nothing.
Can I see it?
No.
This is a victimless crime.
He was a poison. The only way to kick a nasty habit is to form a new one. Lucky for you, the beast abides.
So who gets the credit when this is over?
How are you finding the reactions, Michael, Sigrid? Like, it was super fun with you guys in Sydney the other week. The reactions we got in the crowd responses to different characters and actions was wild. Very fun.
I mean, you know, what you experience in Sydney, we're experiencing across the board. We've now done how many did we do across Melbourne and regional Vic? I literally have lost count because we did quite the whirlwind tour across Victoria. And, you know, now we're in Adelaide and we'll let you know how Adelaide goes. But certainly as far as Victoria goes, it was laughs and gasps aplenty.
And Michael, Michael does sound kind of mildly surprised, but this was the idea.
Very much planned. I know.
exactly. But I must say, it's always such, because you never know. You just don't know what you've really got, because it's all about the audience's feedback. That's the feedback loop. And we didn't know until we started how it was going to be. And there seems to be this little groundswell coming up, which is exactly what we wanted. And it's very exciting.
It's so funny that you guys say that, because I know, you know, I would assume, Sigrid, you've been to some of these, like if you ever go to like a critic screening, or sometimes there are test screenings, I hate them. I go because you have to, or sometimes you have to watch something in isolation because you're preparing for an interview with folks like you guys. But I loved the Sydney screening because I actually got to feel the audience, and someone grabbed me when we were watching it. There's a moment where
random
your character,
person.
Yeah, just I was sitting next to I was just by myself. So I was just sitting with a random, and there's a moment where your character, Sigrid, cuts her hand. She's just there, just like chopping something, and she's getting in a heightened state of emotion, cuts her hand, and someone goes, oh, and like grabbed my arm. I'm right next to me, and
that's
I got a jolt, and I was like, oh, this is what this movie's going to be like. This is what it's really going to be like, with an audience tinkering with their expectations, playing with them. So it is broadly like a family drama, then it turns into intrigue, then it turns into just kind of something kind of batty and wild. And Michael, I just wonder, because I'm now having known you a little bit, talking to you, when you were orchestrating this crazy thing that has just birthed out of your mind, like how did you know to take it from, to kind of anchor people with a, you know, a little bit of heightened sense of like ambition, reality, etc. How did you take it from there to then go like, all right, I know exactly how batty this thing's going to get. How did you do that?
It really did happen over a period of time and redrafting. The first draft of the film was kind of, it was much straighter.
Yes.
And with each development, and then as James Vinson, our lovely director, came on board, and he started to work with me at around about like sort of, I wrote about 7 million drafts, and he came in around draft 9. And with each redraft and each meeting with James, we just kept pushing it further and further. Not just for the sake of it, but because as we started to go deeper into the story and the themes and the world that we were building, it just felt that if we were going to try and scare or deal with, you know, heavy themes, it needed to be really heavy. And if we were going to try and make people laugh, it needed to be a belly laugh. There was no reason to hold back. So it really was just sort of this natural evolution that as we went forward together, James, myself, and then eventually the whole team landed on something that was like, you know, very stylized. And now I'm kind of like, how did that not start that way? Because that's so who I am as a person. I mean, look at my hair.
It's interesting too that you know, when you said, Blake, it just came out of your mind, it put me in mind of something that, I mean, because it is very much Michael's mind, which I, because I now know Michael much better than I did, you know, a couple of years ago, which wasn't at all a couple of years ago. But you know that some of your listeners may know, I think it's Spaceballs, which is the send up of aliens. It's a little bit like that sequence where the alien just pops out of the stomach with a hat and cane like the Jiminy Cricket and does a dance along the floor. I think this film's a bit like that.
Yeah, it's exactly, because there's the two ways. It's the Ridley Scott. It's either horrific terror and you're going to be dour. And, you know, I've heard this described in Australian cinema sometimes. I'm like, which is why I love Slant and why I want to talk to you guys so much, is like, I love genre film. Like, genre is not a dirty word. And it shouldn't be. And it has the great potential to, whilst being super fun, bloody, camp, fantastic, it can also say, have some deeper themes. That's the power of genre. And that's the two things. It's like, this could have been Alien, where you get really serious and everyone gets murdered by the alien, or it sings a song and dance. And I feel like that's the perfect, that's the perfect thing. I don't need to see another movie about two heroin addicts in love in Australia. We're done with that. We just need more fun. We're fun. Yeah. You know, this is, and even as bad and as gnarly as this movie gets, it never, there were laughs consistently in that audience that we saw in Sydney. Like, and I imagine if you've had the similar tour in Victoria, like people were belly laughing as well as gasping. That's the perfect blend, I think. And you guys have found the right mix. I want to ask Sigrid, because you've had so much experience in both Australian and international cinema and in theatre particularly, when Slant takes big swings, and I think it lands them, but when you're making especially films with new filmmakers like Michael and James and Monique, and they're asking you to take these big swings, do you ever get a sense when you're making it that, oh, it is going to land? Is there something that you can feel, or is it like once it happens and you see it, you're like, oh, I get it? Or is there a hesitation? Because I just wonder, because you're so experienced, you've got that time in your belt. Like, is there some special, you know, feeling that you're like, oh, this is, no, I think it's going to work. I feel like it's going to work while we're making it.
I think it's really hard to take myself back to the shoot. It was such a joyful time. I think we were all taking this. It felt to me like we all took a giant leap of faith together.
Yes.
With a huge amount of trust in one another. So there's that. But it didn't mean that we weren't, you know, that we weren't trepidatious about, you know, what the hell are we really doing here? I mean, I'm sure Michael, Mon and James much more than me, although I was a little, I must say. But you see, I think in for a penny, in for a pound with this film. That's what happened. Yeah. It's exactly what how Michael described the writing process once he and James and Mon decided what the scope could be. Then they decided, well, why not go the whole, why not explore the range? Yeah. And I think that's what I decided to with Slant as far as performance goes. And I also really, by the time we got to the shoot days, we'd had a little bit of rehearsal, which Mon had, bless her, found for us in an incredibly tight framework, schedule and budget. But we had some shorthand by the time we got to the set, and we really trusted one another to know where to kind of tie the ropes, as you were, you know, that were. But I just allowed myself to free fall, really.
What's it like watching Sigrid Thornton playing a version of your mum free fall, Michael?
It's funny. I will she's not actually a version of my mum. My mum will be mortified if that starts to be the message that gets out. Although all the characters in the film are based on family members, I kind of mix them up.
You put them in the blender. It's in the color. It's on the creative palette. It's in the palette.
Yeah, so Vivian's actually the name of one of my aunts, and my mum's name is Olivia, and Olivia obviously is played by Ra Chapman. So very much my family all get a Guernsey here. but in terms of watching Sigrid play my mum and be living in that environment with her, you know, I would have thought that it would have been like a, maybe it's certainly going in, like I'm going to be so intimidated by this, you know, and Sigrid doesn't like being referenced like this, but icon, this person who is, you know, beyond sort of critique. But really, it was felt really normal. And because we had the privilege of rehearsal, as previously mentioned, it was easy acting with Sigrid. I never felt like we were having to get past any sort of obstacle. But that was also because of a lot of great groundwork had been laid by James in rehearsal, and we were just off and away, and I wasn't surprisingly intimidated by the time.
Michael, don't you think there was this incredible sense of openness from everybody? I mean, all of the personalities, there's no coincidence that they were chosen for their sort of openness. And I'm talking about not just the cast, but all of the crew. There was an evenness in that respect. I mean, the shoot was all up and down and peaks and valleys, and we were exploring emotionally. But there was a common ground of trust and openness that was that isn't always present, and was incredibly valuable to this experience, because we only had a short time to shoot, so we had to kind of, you know, we just had to go in boots.
Get on with it. Yeah, exactly as you said. You in for a penny, in for a pound. You've all got to be there. You've all got to do it. You had an incredible supporting cast and crew here, and I just wanted to ask you, when you guys were working together, what were some of the favorite things that you did together in this movie? Because there are some fantastic ensemble scenes that are in Slant, without sort of spoiling it for folks. Just like, what were the days that you were looking most forward to making this thing? And and how did those other actors all complement? I know there's a great nightclub scene flashback that I think James calls the Friends flashback, which I really loved. And there's some of your great family interactions together around Christmas that are just outstanding. But could you talk about like those scenes and playing off of one another?
We worked really hard to ensure that everything was as fun as it could be, because if we were having fun, then we knew the audience would be having fun. So I know it sounds cliche and like it's just a soundbite that I'm wheeling out, but really every day was just so much fun. There was no like, oh, I'm not looking forward to shooting that scene, or I, you know, it was just like such a wild ride. Every scene was so fun, but obviously, particularly the final act of the movie, and we were very blessed to film chronologically, but as we go back to the Verity family home, and there's just a peak energy, like there was energy on set, and any time that we got to play together as a family, I love family dynamics. So I love playing with the whole cast. Elle Mandalas is amazing. P is amazing. Shannon Berry is amazing. Everyone's amazing. But I did particularly love any family scene because it was just, I don't know, maybe I could relate more.
Other thing, Michael, that occurs to me as you're reminding me, that we had this incredible privilege, very unusual, to shoot more or less in sequence, not every time, sequentially. And that really changed the dynamic and the experience positively. Because, you know, as you say, you know, sometimes you do look forward to, you kind of, when you're shooting out a sequence, that you have in mind certain key scenes. And it's not to say that there aren't key scenes, key sort of dividing lines, key scenes that shoot off to spin the movie out into another sphere and all that stuff. But that said, because we shot sequentially, it was like we were just sort of moving through time together.
Yes.
It wasn't quite the same as, you know, I'm looking forward to Saturday because we're going to shoot that. It was like, well, Saturday, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen on Saturday because we haven't got there yet. You know what I mean? Yeah, which is more like life.
Yeah, we really were living moment to moment.
I was going to say, it's so rare to hear about that, but it's in almost universally whenever you hear any actor or film talk about it. And I think in a low budget sense, sometimes it's even harder to shoot sequentially because you're trying to catch shots that everyone says that it's absolutely phenomenal and it just works a treat. My friend, a dear friend of mine, Maria Lewis, she's a writer and a screenwriter as well, and a film critic. She came up with a phrase that I love for Australian noir, which she says, yeah, noir. That's what it is. Yeah, noir. Right. And I love it. And I feel like Slant is like, yeah, noir. Like it's contemporary, yeah, noir. And so I just wonder, you know, Slant, when I approached it and first got the opportunity to talk to you guys and introduce the film and things like that, which is super fun. And I was really privileged. I had no concept that this was something that might bloom into other things. And could you talk a little bit about, Michael, like some ideas you guys have had about like doing more yeah noir, which I'm always excited about.
Yeah. I mean, certainly in terms of the Slant universe, should we be so lucky and privileged, there is more story to tell. Slant is its own self-contained story. If you know, there's no reason, it's not a cliffhanger ending. But there is a natural progression. Well before we even shot, James and I were having discussions. And I mean, I'd love to make a trilogy, partly because the idea of a trilogy is a bit romantic, but also because I see where the story could go. But in terms of yeah noir, which by the way, I'm now obsessed with, I love mixed genre, and I love the Australian sense of humor. So even outside of Slant, I've written something else that maybe it's not quite yeah noir, but that whole world of comedy meets maybe more serious subject matter is just really delicious, and it's really fun to find that sweet spot, especially because it is a challenge, but then it really pays off if you can find that right tonal balance. I mean, I think it pays dividends in spades.
It does, doesn't it? Because people don't live their lives in one. I mean, the mode of sort of existence changes from moment to moment, of course. And so there's no, you know, staying in one genre is, you know, necessarily, obviously, limited. And it's so much fun. I think people, if they really find, if they find themselves in a genre buster that is working for them, they appreciate it all the more because it's much more like life.
Yes.
You know, it's much more close to a true existence, which is kind of all over the shop, really, isn't it?
Yeah, totally right. Like one minute you're laughing, the next you're crying. Like it really is.
Exactly.
Oh, well said. Yeah.
An Australian sense of humor is precisely like being absolutely at your worst moment and then someone inappropriately joking you out of there and exploding into like, oh, there's just a little bit of relief. And I think that that's, you know, there's a real talent to that. So I just want to say thank you and good luck. It's been a real privilege to get to know you a little bit, and I'm excited for whatever you do next. I love Slant as Yanoir. Shout that out. You can call it out, Maria Lewis TM. But Yanoir, absolutely great. Michael, it's great to chat to you again. And Sigrid, as I told you before we were recording, but I'll say it on air, I've loved you since the moment I saw you in The Man from Snowy River. My love is unabiding, and you're just the best. And you are an icon. And Michael might get in trouble from you for him saying it, but you can't hit me through the Zoom chat. So that's just what's going to happen.
You'd never hit anyone.
No, of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. But thank you so much. Good luck. It's so awesome that you guys are roadshowing this flick. Breaking down Barbenheimer one cinema screen at a time. All the best on the roadshow. And yeah, I do we know what's next when people, if they can't catch it on your roadshow or at the theater, when are people going to be able to get it?
We just got confirmation. Can I say I'm looking over the corner? Yeah. So we just screened in Castlemaine last weekend and they're doing an encore this Sunday. So we're just kind of, it really is one of those things where we're just
word of mouth,
and you know, stay tuned.
Follow us. Go on the website because the website will have full reportage.
I'll make sure I link it in the show notes of this episode so you guys can check it out if it's coming to your area locally in Australia, but then more broadly, if it picks up and runs anywhere else, it'll be all linked in there. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
It's great to talk. Cheers.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Slant is about a budding journalist going to investigate an extremely high profile crime. And as we all know, because murder podcasts are the most popular thing in the world, everyone has a theory. The first theory, of course, the husband did it. And then there's a whole bunch of other things. And is she alive? Is she dead? Is she missing? All this sort of thing. And the thing I love about Slant is, personally for me, I didn't need to know, because I actually, the more I watched Slant, I was like, I don't need to know all the answers, because I'm getting different. I'm answering different questions about the characters and where they're going. But hearing the crowd, it was amazing to hear how the rabbit holes people had gone down. It felt like that's a super contemporary thing that like would never have happened years ago, that someone's like, okay, I'm piecing this together. I'm doing my investigation. I'm writing my mini murder podcast theory in my head, and I'm ready to share it with the filmmakers of this movie.
That's such an interesting observation that you say it's a contemporary phenomenon. I wouldn't have thought about it that way, but yeah, as you say, like with the with murder mystery podcasts having been in the zeitgeist for 10 years, you know, and people being kind of like more engaged than ever in terms of how they piece together their own kind of canon narratives, everyone yes. obsessed with them, you know, in various franchises, it makes a lot of sense actually why people are kind of, you know, ready to be so outspoken.
Yeah, and I'm like, does it matter? And I think that what I shared with, you know, your fellow filmmakers, Sigrid and Michael, is that I think that this is a Yeah Noir, which is an Australian noir. And what I love about noir films is that most often the actual investigation is not the thing. Like the investigation is not the answer. And if it is the answer, sometimes it's a wholly dissatisfying answer. And so I think what's really cool about Slant is like, I don't think that solving the mystery is the purpose of Slant. There's so much more that's there. So, but it's really cool to see when people go down the rabbit hole. I'm so fascinated by it, like, cause I don't need that myself as a viewer.
Yeah. I also actually had a few people say, you know, that they sort of forgot that was even happening, because they became happening in sort of the climax of the film, that afterwards, like when we, you know, asked questions about what they thought, there were a few people that were like, oh,
yeah,
sort of that just became, you know, fell by the side based on being so sort of engulfed in the story of what else was unfolding.
Yeah.
So that was interesting too.
So James, the other night when we were introducing the film in Sydney, you were talking about some of your influences, and there's some really phenomenal, you know, particularly some shots in the film when Sigrid Thornton's character, who's the matriarch of the family, is doing a rehearsal. Vivian Verity is her name. She's doing a rehearsal for a play where you get your own little director's cameo in there as well. What it peaked for me in that Q&A, and I won't sort of talk about the specifics of the scene as it relates to the movie to spoil anything, but I got the sense that you were very, you'd had like your own palette, your own pastiche of like different influences that you wanted to bring to it. I think you were talking about Jarmusch at one point. So I'd just love to hear for a, you know, a new Aussie Yeah Noir, like what were your influences going in? Because I started to see some of them after talking to you, and I just wondered if you had a little playbook that you were thinking about. These are the kinds of shots or moods that I want people to feel when they're watching this.
Yeah, the playbook was vast, and it sort of it's a big question to answer, because you know you never want to be pigeonholed into any one thing, and we weren't exactly doing a Tarantino where it was a film full of, you know, Easter eggs for other films, but being that it was a film of the late 90s, which, you know, places, you know, me at about, you know, 7 years old, really wanted to look at a lot of the films that shaped my sensibilities as a storyteller. So films that maybe would not have maybe been so obvious, but were definitely influences, would have been, you know, your big staples, you know, like The Matrix, like American Beauty. We had, you know, a lot of, you know, David Lynch, you know, thrown around. We also had shows, you know, like 6 Feet Under thrown around. You know, Amy, our cinematographer, also, you know, big Lynch fan. We looked at Bound, one of the Wachowskis' older films, but we looked further afield as well. You know, we looked at theater makers like Robert Wilson. We looked at David Bowie when it came to dressing Derek. you know, it was pretty, it was
Michael
pretty
has changed his hair between cities. I don't know how many hair changes he's had, but like I saw him and he's almost unrecognizable with a new hairdo. So what is is this the latest? Is Adelaide red? What was Melbourne red. Something different?
Yeah.
He had straightened curls, sort of, you know, the curls dropped, then ponytails. So yeah, this is the first change of color, but definitely a curated outfit for each location.
Yeah, yeah. He has very defined looks, and he's always keeping us on his toes. That's just Michael, you know. I mean, Michael has had so much of his own sensibilities, you know, imbued in the costuming, and had You know, he'd hoarded so many amazing items from the 90s. This is a hobbyist. Like, that's kind of the thing he does.
Yeah.
So then when it came to costuming slant, you know, he dumped so much at our costume designer, Madeline McCarthy's feet. She had the genius to kind of give it a cohesion and supplement and stitch and stuff, make stuff from hand to give it, you know, like her real vision. But yeah, I mean, you know, so much of that is Michael in terms of how he looks both on and off screen.
You know, this is your first film, but I want to talk about you guys sort of, and Monique, you have an amazing, you know, I spoke about James's cameo. You have an amazing cameo in the movie that people can look forward to. So get excited. But I want to ask you guys about just the cachet of amazing performers, because obviously there's the iconic Sigrid Thornton, but like there's, you know, Ryan A. Murphy, who I hadn't been familiar with, I think he's absolutely sensational. Ra Chapman, phenomenal. Elman Dallas is amazing. Kate Lister's terrific as well. But then you've also got like Pia Miranda, like you have this amazing cast. So I just wondered you guys, if you could talk about the amazing cast other than obviously the stars, because yeah, they're just really incredible.
They are. Well, I would start by talking about Ryan. He's a really phenomenal actor who we as well have worked with before in theater. And he actually played a role opposite me in Lobby Hero by Kenneth Lonergan, which James directed. And I think that was the first time I saw him act in such a, I mean, if you're familiar with the role, he played Bill, who is this sort of older cop that has quite a nasty controlling side to him. And seeing him play that role and like the sort of color that he gave it was really quite shocking and scary, because he's such a lovely, lovely, lovely person. You would never hear him scream or yell at anyone in real
funny.
Life.
He's always joking.
And he's always joking, always funny. And just seeing him like play this, you know, this character had to go to some really extreme places, snapping and very, very angry. And seeing him do that with such, such talent, I just knew that I wanted to keep working with him for forever, really. And so when James sort of, because he was cast quite late in the process, right before we went into production, to replace a cast member that had to pull out last minute. And when James suggested him, it was like such a flip of what we saw Billy, like the energy of what Billy we thought Billy would be. But then his skills, he just pulled it off so well. So I just love watching him and love talking about that.
He's a perfect foil for Derek, you know, Michael's character, who's more confident and brash, and watching his character, there's something about TV siblings sometimes where they do the whole like, we want them to kind of look alike. And there's something cool about real life siblings sometimes who just don't look anything alike and they have completely different energy. And you're like, there's something real about that. I don't know. It's an accident, a happy accident. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's me and my siblings. I look nothing like my brother and sister at all.
My sister has blonde hair and blue eyes. And so if you were standing next to each other, people would be like, what? Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Then we talk and then it's like, oh yeah, they're related. Okay, cool. Gotcha.
I was going to say, I believe the rehearsal process really helped with that as well, because, you know, our philosophy with rehearsals is, you know, we're not just trying to rehearse the scenes, but we're trying to rehearse relationships, right? Mm. Who we are to each other. Mm. And that can take the form of, you know, games, verbal or nonverbal. We can rehearse maybe the ways in which, you know, brother and brother tend to rile each other up, the kinds of names they like to call them, you know? Mm. And, you know, when you then have like Sigrid, you know, Sigrid in the mix of those rehearsals, you know, having to be the mediator, the mother between the two, suddenly, you know, they also develop an emotional shorthand. So it's not so much about like them having kind of fixated on how they say a certain line in X or Y scene. It's kind of like, I know who you are to me. And I also know how, you know, you two are to each other and where I fit in, you know, with the three of you. So I think, I think like really being able to have the time to rehearse those family dynamics, you know, just paid dividends for when we sort of rocked up on set. And I think, it gave Michael and Ryan, you know, such a great kind of, foil, you know, lead relationship, as you say.
So final question, because you guys as producer and director are probably asked this more often, like before I give you your flowers and say congratulations on this sensational little roadshow that you're taking Slant on throughout the country. Could you give me a double feature that you'd pair Slant with? If you guys were out on a roadshow and you wanted to plan a double feature where you guys were like, we're going to watch this and then we're going to watch Slant. Monique, what's yours?
Oh, I didn't know.
James, do you have one? Do you want to give her a moment? Yeah, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, so I would double feature it with Proof, you know, with Hugo Weaving.
Yes, sensational movie.
Yeah, and I think you know those two films, they have, you know, interesting, you know, family brotherly relationships.
Yeah.
They both have reference shots of Hedley Dean. I think what's important about Slant, which I think Proof has as well, is that they leave space for the audience to dream. I think that's what's so important about, you know, as we've touched on this idea of, you know, the audience being empowered to have theories. Because, you know, for example, I have my own theories of where the story goes, as does Michael, as does Monique. But that's not necessarily canon, you know.
Yeah.
It's actually really important that the audience, like, has their kind of space for the movie to be theirs. So I think, yeah, Proof is a nice little palette primer.
Well, when eventually Slant comes onto video on demand or premium video on demand or something, you can do a double of Proof and Slant in your house. So that's great. That's easier to access. What about you, Manu? Yeah.
I don't know.
Pick one.
Look, I don't know. I think it's a good, like, when we discussed it the other day, talking about, like, the castle, I think is something that would be funny to pair it with, because it's similarly about, you know, a family, the family dynamics and connection, and yet, you know, still a very Australian story, but such, like, the opposite scale. So I feel like it would be quite a funny watch having those two together.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. That'd be a roller coaster.
Yeah. It'd be like the family is everything. My family is home. My family is safe. And then Slant, the opposite of that. It's not exactly a very safe place.
It would like go from innocence to absolute. Yeah.
Yeah. It would definitely make Slant slap harder. Which I like that as a feature, double feature concept.
Well, guys, look, congratulations on the roadshow and taking it out to Australian audiences. Excited to see where it goes from here and what other theatres it gets picked up in, and if it eventually goes on to physical media, which I hope it does. And after talking to James a couple of times, I'm sure that it probably will go to physical media or on video on demand or to streamers or whatever the case may be. But congratulations. It's been awesome to talk to you. It was lovely to meet you guys in person and do the Sydney Q&A, but I just wanted to share that it's a great little yeah noir, and I'm looking forward to whatever you guys do next.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming to see our yeah noir. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been lovely chatting with you. Yeah, thanks so
great
much.
Great chatting with you too, mate.
You're welcome.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.